Father, once again we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for your safety this week and traveling grace and mercies, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you care so much about us, Father, and we are exhorted to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is inerrant and infallible, and we pray that you might sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Help us to understand clearly the history of Israel and also the glorious future that the nation of Israel has, Father, in your prophetic program. And Father, illuminate us so that we might comprehend your word by your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are entering into a section of Romans that once again portrays the future of the nation Israel. And this section has to deal with the olive tree and the branches. And this section is once again is talking about two groups, the Gentiles and Israel. And that's how they are treated as groups in this section. And Paul states, beginning in verse 16, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." Once again, Paul argues for the future restoration of the nation Israel. And he gives two illustrations in this verse. Two illustrations demonstrates the final restoration of Israel. First of all, the first part of the verse, "If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy." Now, the word first fruit here is aparche. And if you're familiar with the word arche, it means first, beginning, or chief. The idea aparche is first fruits, first portion of any kind. And here it's talking about a lump of dough as far as the first fruits. Now, there was other offerings under the Levitical system that the priests would offer. You would offer the first fruits of your harvest to God, and that would sanctify the rest of the harvest. Here we're dealing with dough here. And what does the first fruit represent in this analogy? It represents Abraham. Abraham was called out by God, and he started the nation. God started a nation with an individual, Abraham. He was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham was the first Jew. And so God started this nation with Abraham, and he set apart Abraham. The word holy means set apart. And Abraham was set apart for a purpose by God. He was the founder of the nation Israel. So Abraham was holy, or he was set apart. And Paul's arguing, if Abraham is set apart, and he also includes here the idea of the promises made to Abraham. Of course, the promises made to Abraham concerned his seed. If Abraham is set apart, then the lump is also holy, the rest of the dough. And so since Abraham is consecrated and set apart, the rest of the dough, which would represent the people of the nation Israel, the lump. Here we have the word which means what is mixed or kneaded, a batch of dough. So the rest of the batch of dough, representing the people of Israel, they are set apart as well for God's purpose. So, if Abraham was called out by God and set apart in God's program, and to Abraham was given the Abrahamic covenant, and we'll bring that in later when we talk about the root of the olive tree representing the Abrahamic covenant, then what follows is the rest of the people of Israel, are also set apart in God's plan. Therefore, God will not abandon them. God will not abandon the nation because they are set apart in that program. The reference here is to Numbers 15, 17 through 21. The first part of the dough was to be offered up to God as a symbol that the entire lump belonged to Him. The first lump, or first portion, belonged to God, then the rest of the nation also belongs to God. It's set apart. They are set apart to Him. The same idea was involved in the Feast of First Fruits, when the priest offered a sheaf to the Lord as a token that the entire harvest was his. Leviticus 23:9-14. The basic idea is that when God accepts the part, He sanctifies the whole. So when God accepts the part, He sets apart the rest of the nation. They are set apart in God's program as well. God accepted the founder of the nation, Abraham, and in so doing, set apart his descendants as well. God also accepted the other patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob, in spite of their sins or failings. This means that God must accept the rest of the lump, the nation of Israel. God will not abandon the rest of the lump, the nation of Israel. We have a similar analogy in one sense. When we believe in Christ, we are set apart. We are holy in Him in our heavenly position. And regardless of our sins or failures after salvation, our ultimate salvation, when we go on to be with the Lord at the rapture or death, that is guaranteed. That is absolutely guaranteed. So the analogy carries over with the nation of Israel being holy or set apart for God's use and in God's program and plan. And this verse really highlights the sovereignty of God. God will not stop until He fulfills His promises to Abraham, and the nation of Israel is restored, and the Abrahamic covenant as well as the new and Davidic covenants are applied, which will ultimately be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. So Paul looks forward to a future restoration of the nation Israel. Now, let's take a look at the second analogy. The second analogy is the second part of the verse. If the root be holy, if the root be holy. Now, this sets us up for what he will talk about following about the olive tree and the branches. He says that the root is holy, the root of a tree. Then so are the branches. Why? The sap flows from the root up through the rest of the tree. So if you have good roots and the sap is flowing through them, the rest of the branches experience the life of that root. So the root of the tree would be set apart as well. What's the root of the tree? Once again, Abraham. Abraham is the root. He's the founder of the nation. Abraham being the founder of the nation represents the root of a tree. The branches that are Abraham's descendants, the branches are set apart as well. Word hagios, holy, here in the context means set apart. So the branches here is literally a small branch or twig. The branches here are the small branches. All the other branches that branch out in the tree are also set apart for God. That would be, once again, the people of Israel. So with these two analogies, the first fruits set apart makes the rest of the lump set apart as well. And at the root of a tree is set apart. Here, Abraham, holy, set apart for God's purpose and plan, so are the branches, His descendants. And God will not stop until that plan is fulfilled. In both illustrations, the principle is the same. What is considered first contributes its character to what is related to it. With a tree, the root obviously comes first and contributes the nature of that type of tree to the branches that come later. With the cake presented to the Lord, the flour for the cake is taken from the ground meal, but that cake is formed and baked first and presented as a first fruit. Since it is set apart to the Lord first, it sanctifies the whole harvest. As a result, Israel is set apart or holy to God, and her stumbling, here the rejection of Christ, must therefore be temporal. That rejection of Christ is not permanent. God will restore the nation Israel. It's almost like in this section, almost in every verse, he's shouting in so many different ways, God's not through with Israel. God's not. He is using so many analogies here and illustrations and direct statements showing that God is not through with the nation Israel. They will be restored. Now, let's set up the... I'll put the whole screen on here. Let's set up the what is what in this section. Just like in Revelation 12, we need to know who the players are, like the woman, the dragon, and so forth. Here we need to know what represents what. Now, in the following verses, we will see an olive tree. We will see the natural branches in that olive tree. We will see also a wild olive tree and the branches from that. And we need to know what these things represent. Well, the root of the tree represents the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is the root of the tree. From it, all the spiritual blessings flow. They flow out of that root, just like the sap flows up from the root throughout to the rest of the tree. So the Abrahamic covenant is the basis of the olive tree. The olive tree does not represent Israel. A lot of people like, well, the olive tree is Israel. I'll show you why it doesn't represent Israel. The olive tree is the place of spiritual blessings. If we said the olive tree represented Israel, we would be good covenant theologians, because the branches are broken off and the Gentiles are placed in the Israel. They become spiritual Israel. And that's how covenant theologians argue in this section. The olive tree does not represent Israel. Israel owns the tree. The tree belongs to Israel, but the tree is not Israel. That's a very important distinction. So the olive tree is simply the place of spiritual blessing. The place of spiritual blessing. What are the natural branches? The natural branches equal the Jews. The Jews. What about the wild olive branches? The wild olive branches equals the Gentiles. Again, he's talking about two people groups. The analogy here is not talking about individuals. That's very important, because a lot of Arminians will go to this passage and try to teach loss of salvation. Well, you're broken off and you've got to remain in the tree by faith, and if you don't, you'll lose your salvation. And it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. So the wild olive branches represents Gentiles. These are groups of individuals, Jews and Gentiles. What about the principle of grafting in of the wild olive branches? Well, that represents Gentiles have been made partakers of Jewish spiritual blessings as contained in the Abrahamic covenant. When the wild olive branches, which represents the Gentiles, are placed into that tree of blessing, they partake of the blessings from the Abrahamic covenant. You remember the Abrahamic covenant has several blessings flowing from it. Blessings related to the nation, blessings related to Abraham, and blessings related to the rest of the world, including the Gentiles. And you, Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. We got to distinguish which blessings apply to which people and not confuse them. The church is not spirit. We don't ever partake of the physical blessings promised to Abraham's physical descendants. We partake of the spiritual blessings that was to go out to all nations through the person of Christ and His death. We receive as Gentiles spiritual blessings from that Abrahamic covenant. Grafting into the natural branches represents, in the future, the restoration of Israel to the place of favor and divine blessing with God. Those branches that were broken off and the Gentiles took the place of blessing, those natural branches will be placed back into their own tree. It's Israel's tree. So once again, they will be restored. Paul argues that toward the end of this section. The breaking off of the natural branches means Israel is set aside from the place of blessing. or present judgment on unbelieving Israel. The natural branches, which represents Israel, broken off from that tree of blessing, represents God's present judgment on the nation Israel. Actually, these two things in chronology should be reversed, because this takes place after this. Okay. Now, if you didn't get that, I have some pictures for you. That always helps liven up things. Okay. Here, this is, take my word for it, that's a olive tree. I know it looks like an oak tree, but try to find clip art of an olive tree. Do a search on Google and try to find clip art. It's difficult. Okay, trust me, that's an olive tree. So, the olive tree here represents the place of blessing. Once again, the olive tree does not represent Israel. That's very important. The olive tree is simply the place of blessing. The root of that tree represents the Abrahamic covenant, the promises that God made to Abraham. And like the sap flows up through from the roots through the rest of the tree, the rest of the tree represents blessing, the place of blessing. Now, the natural branches represents Israel. You see one broken off. That represents Israel. The wild olive branches represents the Gentiles. Those branches from the wild olive tree equals the Gentiles. Second picture. In the chronology here, at the current time, Israel is broken off from the place of blessing. You see that limb over there, you have a branch broken off, and it represents Israel under judgment, temporal judgment, at this present time. So at this present time, we have Israel broken off from the place of blessing. They're not in the, they don't receive the blessings that flow from the Abrahamic covenant. It's still their tree, but they're not receiving the blessings currently. Another group has taken the place of Israel. Not, this is not replacement theology, but has taken the place of Israel's blessing. See? The Gentiles. The Gentiles at the current time. And this sets us up for the grafting in. Here, we have a wild olive branch. You can see the color is different. It's black there. And that wild olive branch represents the Gentiles now placed into the blessings of that tree. And they receive the blessings flowing from the Abrahamic covenant. Not replacing Israel, not receiving the land covenant or anything else promised to Abraham and his descendants, but receiving what God promised that would go out to all nations, spiritual blessings, through the person of Christ. And you, Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. And so, at the same time, while the wild olive branch is grafted in to that tree of blessing, the natural branches, Israel, is broken off. They're not in a place of blessing currently by God. They're broken off from that place of blessing. So, at the present time, Gentiles are now in a place of blessing. And you remember earlier, this very fact should promote or provoke Israel to jealousy. Why are the Gentiles being blessed now? That very thing should provoke Israel to jealousy. So they'll want to come back by faith and receive what is theirs to begin with. It's their tree. Number three, third slide here. Now, in the future, the natural branches will be grafted back into their own tree. And the wild olive branches are not to become arrogant. Here's a warning. We go back to the second slide. There's also a warning that the Gentiles are not to get in a place of arrogance and say, look at the blessings God's given me, and then look at those accursed Jews, and start to become anti-Semitic. I think there's an exhortation in this section not to get arrogant and proud because we're in the place of blessing and the Jews are not. And even some people, the covenant theologians, God is through with Israel. And that sadly, that mental attitude has been the history of the early church. They're boasting against Israel and persecuting the Jews, when the Bible clearly says not to become arrogant. You're in the place of blessing not because you were good, but because you believed. He'll argue that fact. Not because you're better than those Jews who were unbelieving. That's not why you're in the place of blessing. It's because of faith. So the natural branches are broken off. Israel's broken off from the place of blessing. The wild olive branches are grafted in. Now in the future, the Gentiles will be broken off because of arrogance. They will be broken off, and Israel, because of their belief in the Messiah, will be grafted back into the place of blessing, and then all the rest of the benefits flowing from that Abrahamic covenant, which includes the land, which includes spiritual salvation, all those blessings flowing out of that covenant will be applicable to Israel when Israel is restored. And this is what Paul states at the end of the chapter. Verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. So Israel will be restored. Israel will be restored and in a place of blessing. They will receive the full benefits that were promised through the Abrahamic covenant. So really those three slides summarize this section here and what he's saying. But it's important to get the right identification for each part. Okay, let's take a look at the section then, Romans 11:17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now, the branches broken off represents Israel's setting aside. They're set aside from the place of blessing. The wild olive branches represent the Gentiles. They were then grafted in. With Israel broken off from the place of blessing, the Gentiles are now in the place of blessing. They're grafted in to that olive tree. And so that grafting in represents Gentile believers enjoying the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. And with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now the root would be the Abrahamic covenant. As we defined earlier, the root of that tree. You are partaker, the Gentiles are a partaker of the Abrahamic covenant. And what about the fatness of the tree? It's an interesting word here in the Greek. It means the root with its oily richness. Olive trees were known for its oil. Or it's here, its sap. The root with its rich sap. So the fullness here represents blessing. Blessing. They are now, the Gentiles, are partaking of the root, the Abrahamic covenant, and the blessing which flows from that covenant. The Gentiles that are grafted into the olive tree now partake of the spiritual blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Take a look at verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. There's one promise. from you, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation. I will bless thee, personal blessings. Abraham was blessed personally. And make thy name great. The name Abraham is still great today. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. This phrase is very important when we get down to the section about the wild olive branches that are now in the place of blessing becoming anti-Semitic. What happens? Be careful. They might be cursed. Because they're cursing what? They're cursing unbelieving Israel. But those Gentiles that bless Israel, they remain in that place of blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. This is a clear warning even to our nation that we need to support the nation Israel. We need to back the nation of Israel. Because if we don't, this is the quickest thing will take our nation down the tubes. And this promise still is in effect today. Because the spiritual blessings are going out today. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that last phrase refers now to the blessings going out to the Gentiles. Now Paul in Galatians 3 states that the seed, singular, is Christ. And through Christ we have spiritual blessings. Paul states in Ephesians 1:3, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So because of the death of Christ, we receive spiritual blessings. All the nations, Christ died an unlimited atonement. So it's not simply Israel as God's chosen people exclusively. Now all the nations can be blessed through the person of Christ and His death on the cross. Now, the olive tree here. The olive tree does not represent the church. I was reading the commentary this afternoon. It says, you know what the olive tree is? The olive tree is the church. No, it's not the church. The olive tree is not the church. And once again, this is the idea. Covenant theologians can say that the church has replaced Israel. The church has not replaced it, has not replaced Israel. Also, the olive tree does not represent Israel. It does not represent Israel. Otherwise, you have Israel broken off from Israel. The olive tree does not represent Israel. No. So it's not the church, and it's not Israel. Well, then what does it represent? The olive tree represents the place of spiritual blessing. The root of this place of blessing is the Abrahamic covenant. The breaking off of the branches is the equivalent of the fall. Remember Abraham, or the fall of stumbling of Israel, Romans 11:11. The diminishing of Israel, Romans 11:12, and the casting away, Romans 11:15. That equals what he's saying here with the branches being broken off. Israel is under God's temporal judgment at this present time. In their unbelief. To read into this illustration the matter of the eternal destiny of the individual believer is to abuse the truth Paul was seeking to communicate. I've heard this growing up in an Arminian background that they would go to this passage to teach loss of salvation. See? You can be broken off. You've got to continue in faith. If you don't, you can lose your salvation. He's not talking here about personal, individual salvation. He's talking about the place of blessing flowing from the Abrahamic covenant. And he's not talking to individuals. He's talking to groups. He's talking to Gentiles as a whole. He's talking to Jews as a whole. So he's not talking about individuals losing their salvation. That's not even in the context. That's bad hermeneutics. Rips it out of its context. Also, it's bad historical background because I want to read you a quote here from Alvin J. McLean in his commentary on Romans. And Individuals who think you can lose your salvation, they don't know anything about horticulture. They don't understand horticulture here. Let me read you an extended quote here. He says, "Anyone who is a Bible student and also a horticulturist ought to know better than to interpret the passage this way," meaning you can lose your salvation. "As I happen to be the latter, you will pardon me if I tell you something about grafting. When you take a scission and graft it into another tree, for instance, take a pear and graft it in on the apple tree, will the scission change its identity? Will this bit of pear grow into an apple? Certainly not. It will remain a pear." Now, what is this olive tree? It represents the place of favor or privilege. Abraham is the root. Gentiles are Gentiles, Jews are Jews in this olive tree. I think that's a good answer for those who believe that this teaches loss of salvation. It doesn't. Another quote here. "When God set Israel aside, unbelieving Jewish branches were cut off from the tree. God then took branches from a wild olive tree, Gentile believers, and grafted them into the tree, together with believing Jewish branches. Gentile branches enjoy the spiritual blessings that come from the covenant made with Abraham." Now, the exhortation in verse 18, "Boast not against the branches." Here's an appeal now to the Gentiles at the present time in regards to those branches, the Jews that are broken off, unbelieving Israel. "Boast not against those branches. But if you boast, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you." This is a very interesting quote here. Don't boast. Here we have the Greek word katakauchaomai, kata kachuomai, from kata against, and kachuomai means to boast. So the idea is to boast against or rejoice against, to boast about something by downgrading something else. You downgrade something else. You're boasting, but you're also putting down Israel at the same time. Or, another lexicon put it this way, to boast at the expense of another. Boast against, exalt over. So this is the Gentiles being lifted up in pride. Look at the blessings we're receiving. Look at those unbelieving Israel. They deserve that, and you know, and then they start to become anti-Semitic. "Boast not against the branches" is an exhortation not to become anti-Semitic. "You must not say that you are so much better than the branches." We can translate it that way. You must not say that you are so much better than the branches. Or the principle here, Gentiles getting arrogant and becoming anti-Semitic. They're boasting against the branches. Who are what? The branches represent Israel. In the church age, Gentiles who become Christians have spiritual privileges that Jewish unbelievers do not have. Therefore, Gentile branches must beware of religious pride. They can easily think of themselves as better than the Jews because they are in a place of blessing instead of the broken off branches. And here's a clear warning not to become arrogant. But Paul says something interesting. Thou bearest not the root, but the root, you. The root bears you. Going back to Genesis 12:3, "I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee." Let's put it this way. Let's look at Barris first, and then we'll look at the quote here. Barris here means to support or sustain. You do not sustain the root of the tree. Isn't it interesting where a branch would turn around and say, I'm sustaining you? The root is what sustains the branches, not the branches the root. You may say, we support the nation Israel, which we should. But in reality, they are supporting us. Think about this. The nation of Israel is supporting us, holding us up. Not, you know, we support Israel. They are bearing us up. God is blessing us because we bless them, not because we're great. Become arrogant and anti-Semitic as a country or as a nation and watch what happens. England tried it. Third-rate nation, France, Spain, and they all went down. It's a fact of history. And America better not become arrogant and boast about those unbelieving Jews. Hitler tried to wipe out the Jews. And he was arrogant, boasting against the branches. What happened to him? He committed suicide. What happened to his Third Reich, which would last over 1,000 years? Fell. See? So even from history, we should learn this lesson. Israel that's supporting us. The root is bearing us, supporting, giving blessing to us. The apostle told Gentile believers not to look down on Jewish people who have rejected Christ. If they do exalt themselves, they should remember that they are not the source of blessing. Abraham, the Jewish root, is a source of blessing. I would include the idea of the Abrahamic covenant that Gentile believers experience. Jesus said the same thing when he declared, salvation is of the Jew. John 4:22. Thou will say then, and you can hear the guy arguing, well, you know what? The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. You know, what makes you so special? Those branches, those Jews were broken off because the idea, I'm better than them. I'm better than them. This Gentile branch believed that God cut the Jewish branches off from the trees of blessing because Gentile believers were more deserving of it. We're deserving of these blessings from God. And how many Christians and churches today in America have that mental attitude? We deserve this. No, we don't. No, we don't. They don't understand the doctrine of total depravity, that we're sinners saved by grace. When the Gentile church considers itself more deserving of salvation than Jewish people who have rejected Christ, then it displays an intolerable arrogance. That is arrogance. And it's from Lucifer, Satan, because Satan hates the Jew. He hates the nation Israel. So that mentality is of Satan. Romans 11:20, Paul says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. It wasn't because you were something special. It's because of their unbelief. And you stand by faith. But don't be arrogant, but fear. Why? You as a group might be broken off from that place of blessing. You start to get arrogant and exalt yourself and boast and look down upon Israel, what will happen? Broken off. Israel, back in the place of blessing, grafted in again. The reason the unbelieving Jewish branches were cut off from the place of blessing had nothing to do with Jewish inferiority to Gentiles, but was related to the issue of faith. Unbelief was the cause of the Jewish branches being cut off, and Gentile branches were grafted in only because of their faith in Christ. And faith has no merit. If you understand that, there's no room to boast. Paul argued that case in Romans 3. He argues that the Gentiles are guilty, the Jews are guilty, Romans 3, all are guilty, and that sets us up for grace. So there's no, lest any man should boast, as Ephesians 2:9 says. It's by grace you're saved through faith. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. In Greek, this is a first-class condition, in which the conditional statement begins with if. It's assumed to be true. It is true. God, if God did not spare the natural branches, he didn't. When they became negative and rejected their Messiah, judgment. God's judgment. If that's the case, what about you? You are currently in the place of blessing. Israel was in the place of blessing, but they were broken off because of unbelief. You're now in the place of blessing as a group, the Gentiles. Don't become arrogant. If God is righteous in putting aside Israel as a whole for unbelief, he certainly could put aside the Gentiles for boasting and haughtiness. Notice here in Romans 11:22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. On the nation of Israel, God judged them. God did not hesitate to judge them. But what about you? Toward you, goodness. God directed in judgment his wrath toward one group of people and manifested his mercy toward another. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Once again, we're not talking about individual salvation here. We're talking about groups of individuals. Behold, Edo, to see with perception. Notice this fact is the idea. Perceive this. Perceive what? Both parts of God's nature. His goodness and his severity. Goodness here is the kindness of God, benevolence. In Titus 3:3-5, the goodness of God is manifested in dying for us. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Notice the kindness, same word here, the goodness of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's not water baptism. It means when God gives you eternal life, your sins are cleansed by the Holy Spirit. But it's not by your works. God's kindness, his benevolence toward us appeared. His goodness. This aspect of God's character emphasizes the fact that God will save. God will save. Now, on the other hand, God is also a just God. See, people, when you talk about the love of God or the wrath of God, and they get on one side or the other, behold, use two eyes. Behold both aspects of God's character. God's good. God's gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. You know what? God's wrathful. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. Look with both eyes at God's character. That's a balanced view of God. That's a healthy view of God as a Christian. We need in our life to behold both. Yes, God's grace, His love, but also yet His wrath. That's what Hebrews is all about. And God will discipline His own. God will chasten His own. We need to behold both aspects of God's character. And I think that's another fall of the church today, is getting on one side or the other. The fire and brimstone preacher on one hand, and always hear about God's holiness and God's wrath, and on the other hand, God's a God of love. He won't judge the homosexual. He won't do anything. He just let it go, you know. And so we need to use both of our eyes. Here's the balance. Behold the goodness of God and behold the wrath or severity of God. Use both your eyes. Severity here, apo, tomia, from apo, meaning off, temno, to cut. And it means a cutting. So the idea here is the cutting off. The severity of God, which lies in His temporary retributive dealings with Israel. This is God's current dealing with the nation of Israel. Judgment. He was severe. This emphasizes the fact that God will judge. So we have on one hand, God is a merciful God. He will save. On the other hand, God will judge. He's both. God will save and God will judge. Both are true. And this might even apply to the annihilationists who denies the eternal judgment. These two sides of God need to be revealed today. The judgment of God against the rejection of Christ and against sin, and the grace of God to those that will trust Christ. On them which fell severity, on national Israel which rejected their Messiah, God's judgment, on one people group. On another, the Gentiles, God's goodness. The Gentiles who believe experience the goodness of God and salvation. If you continue in this goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Here, literally means to cut off or out as a branch from a tree. Going back to the analogy, you'll be broken off from the place not of salvation, but because of salvation, we are in a place of blessing. The Abrahamic covenant. The blessing of God. After over 1,900 years, the Gentile church is much a failure. And I think Dr. McGee got this from his Through the Bible. After 1,900 years, the Gentile church is as much a failure, if not more so, than Israel. Think about that. What has the Gentile church accomplished in 1,900 years as opposed to Israel? We are living in the days of apostasy. The Bible predicts that in the last days of the church age, dangerous times shall come. Apostasy. And the Gentile church, by and large, very arrogant. Covenant theology prevails. And with that, judgment on Israel, or looking down the nose on the nation Israel, or saying, the church has replaced Israel. Well, take heed. God still has a future for Israel. It must be constantly borne in mind that Paul is not speaking of the church or of individual believers. He is speaking about the Gentiles as such. Nothing can ever separate the body of Christ from the head. And nothing can separate a believer from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. But the Gentile peoples can be removed from their present position of special privilege. That's the idea here. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. It's talking now about the natural branches that were cut off. Those Jews, if they still not remain in a state of unbelief, as a nation. They turn in faith as a nation. What's God able to do? Graft them back in. And this sets us up for the future restoration of Israel. They will look to Him whom they have pierced. They will believe in their Messiah. God will restore that nation. They will be grafted into that place of blessing. God will apply the benefits of the Abrahamic covenant. They will return to the land and enjoy the righteous King reigning over them for 1,000 years. God will graft them in again to that place of blessing if they believe. Will they? Yes. The Bible says clearly, yes, they will. Here, the third-class condition is a hypothetical condition, meaning simply it depends on Israel's volition. As long as they remain in a state of unbelief, they're broken off from that blessing they could have. But if, as a nation, they turn to the Lord by faith, the minute they do that, as a nation, they will be restored back to the blessing of God. And Israel's severance need not be final. If they abandon their national unbelief, there is no reason why God cannot put them back into their original place of privilege. It would not be impossible for God to do this. As a matter of fact, He will. He will. Let's take a look at Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, he summarizes this section here. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Once again, don't be arrogant. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. Remember the remnant concept is partial. Blindness is in part happened to Israel. Until, it's not final or total, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's the full numbers of the Gentiles. Next week we'll talk about when does that terminate? At the rapture or second coming? Well, the rapture is a termination of that. Times of the Gentiles run to the second coming. I'll give you the answer. Okay. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is the covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. A new covenant. So blindness in part has happened unto the full number of Gentiles. The Gentiles are in a place of blessing now and privilege, spiritually speaking. But you know what? God's going to graft those natural branches back into their own tree. It's their tree. And as soon as they turn as a nation in faith to their Messiah, He will graft them back in again into the place of blessing. And we'll look at that tomorrow. Father, we thank You, Lord, next week. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the fact that the nation of Israel has a future. We are excited about that, Father, to see the promises in Your Word concerning the nation Israel. Help us as Gentiles not to become arrogant and proud and think that You are blessing us because we deserve it. We do not deserve anything from You, Father. But we thank You that You are a God of mercy. You saved us in spite of our sinful condition. You have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Thank You that You are merciful to us. And help us, humble us, Father. Humble us. And let us not become arrogant. And help us to support, as individuals and as a nation, the nation Israel. Because we will remain in that place of blessing as long as we do so, Father. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we pray that You might remind us as we see the events in the Middle East taking place. We might be reminded of Your promises. That in spite of all, against all odds, and all hatred and anti-Semitism that we see today, You will restore the nation Israel when You return as righteous King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If there's anyone listening, if you haven't trusted in Christ as personal Savior, the gospel is clear, it's simple. You need to express personal faith. Faith is simply agreeing what God has said is true. Express personal faith in Christ. You need to trust in Christ for eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Father, we thank you for your word. Continue to help us to persevere as believers in Jesus Christ. And we ask you this in Christ's name. Amen.